everybody, and welcome back to Katie's Crib. Today we're talking about anxiety, which comes in many forms, from your everyday stress, which a lot of us know about, from worries and fears about, you know, planning like a big party or a meeting at work, to actual intense, debilitating disorder that can completely disrupt your life. This obviously, it doesn't change when you're a mom. Anxiety can pop up in many ways, and we've talked about postpartum anxiety a little bit on this podcast before, but in this episode, we're going to talk about anxiety in pretty broad terms. You know, that overwhelming feeling that seems to permeate through our lives as parents and in our kids and in the world, which is pretty interesting right now.
Yes.
Around us. My guest today is the exceptional Busy Phillips.
Stop it! I love you.
I love you more. And what's crazy is that we're not recording today in my house, in Katie's crib, which is where I usually record, because Busy Phillips is soups fancy now.
We're in Busy's crib.
We're in Busy's crib at Busy Tonight. There's all this amazing Busy Tonight shit around, and I'm obsessed with this
fucking
show.
I can't wait for you to come be a guest on my show.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
Because then we have to tell people how we met.
It'll be the best. I'm not going to tell. I don't want to tell about the podcast.
Okay.
I want to save it for my show.
Your show versus
my
show.
I'm so possessive.
Well, I bet they're different audiences, but still.
No, I bet you have crossover. You know, I had really horrible postpartum anxiety disorder, and I didn't know what it was. And I was with Birdie. I was the first one of any of us to have kids.
You were so young.
I was a baby.
I can't even fucking believe you did that.
I know. I was 20. I had 29.
How did you even know you wanted to be a mom?
I didn't.
I mean, you are a baby whisperer. You are a baby person.
Yeah.
Busy does have like strong baby. I don't know what that is. You just see a baby. You remember
their faces. I love a baby. I love a baby more than I love a person. Here's the truth. You know what I think I'm going to do?
What?
I think I'm going to start volunteering holding babies at the NICU.
You need to do that.
I need
you
to
have
do
a
it.
Great energy for that. Like, just, you have fucking time.
I know. Well,
I'm
listen,
sorry. You're producing, starring in the first female to have a late night talk show that's four nights a week, you guys. It's just a little bit of a big deal.
I'm not the first one, but I'm the only one right now.
You're the only one doing it.
Yeah, I'm the only one right now, but I'm not the first one. But it is a big deal. Okay, so here's what happened to me when I had Birdie. I was 20. Yeah, I had just turned 29. We hastily decided to try to have a baby. The conversation was the writer's strike was about to happen in Los Angeles. This was in 2007. The writer's strike was about to happen in Los Angeles. I was not working on a television show.
And you were married to a writer.
I was married to a writer, and we knew we would have extra time on our hands, and that he wouldn't be working, and that I wouldn't be able, like, there wouldn't be a pilot season really. And so it seemed like, why don't we try? And I remember the conversation with Mark, and he was like, well, I'm 36 and I've never accidentally gotten someone pregnant before. I don't even know how long it would take or whatever. And I was pregnant the next month.
So it worked well.
It worked well.
It worked real well.
Yeah. I got pregnant on Thanksgiving. I know, like, the day I got pregnant. Is that so weird?
After the Thanksgiving meal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did it.
I'm impressed, because that's probably the last fucking thing on this earth I would want to do after eating Thanksgiving is have sex with my husband.
I mean, I get that.
But also, you were 28, shit was different.
Yeah, things were different. I write about it in my book. I am one of the people, I felt implantation. I woke up in the middle of the night. It's so crazy.
No,
I woke up in the middle of the night and it felt like a lightning bolt in my gut. And I like took a huge breath and Mark was like, are you okay? And I was like, I just got pregnant.
Did you feel it for Cricket?
No, I wasn't paying attention.
Maybe it's Birdie of it all.
Birdie is a lightning bolt.
Like she is the force.
She is truly a lightning bolt. She really, really, truly is. So anyway, so then after she was born, I was a mess, like all of these things. Like, I had had anxiety when I was a kid, and I didn't ever have it diagnosed when I was a kid. Racing thoughts, unable to sleep, laying in bed, paralyzed by fear, like all these kinds of things. And I didn't.
You never, your parents never took you to a therapist or anything?
I went to a therapist. That was never part of the diagnosis. It's so weird.
But you have images and memories from your childhood of just fear,
spinning out.
Crippling fear.
I would go through, like, systematically go through every person who was close to me and imagining, like, how they could die. What, you know, I just would.
Dude, I have that now sometimes.
Oh, yeah, me too. Terrible.
I'm in therapy right now for anxiety because I don't know what happened, but ever since I had a baby, I'm just, everyone's going to die all the time.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, that so is the truth. It's 100% the truth, but I'm so aware of this cyclical life death thing.
Yeah, I have like a crazy thing too. And you hear stories and the, you know, you whatever, and the internet, like all of these things, right? Like are compounding our feelings of this anxiety. But I do, I have moments of like where I get lightheaded sometimes. Like just, we were parked in front of a restaurant on Beverly and Mark was taking our little one, Cricket, who's five, out of the car on the driver's side. So like on the street side. Right. And just like a huge truck passed. She was fine. He was fine. But like I had that, like I saw the whole thing. Like, do you know what I mean?
And you saw your life flash before your eyes.
Totally. They were fine. Like they didn't clock it at all. But yeah, so I have always had those kinds of things. And after Birdie was born, it was just, first of all, I felt very alone in my baby rearing.
You didn't have many friends that were pregnant at the same time.
I didn't have many friends who had babies. My friend Michelle had a baby a few years earlier, but she lived in New York. I felt very much alone here friend-wise, but then also like I felt very alone in my marriage, and he was really confused about how to be participatory. Sure. And so he kind of just like pieced out.
Great.
Which is very common.
For sure.
And anytime I hear anyone who's like getting divorced and they have a kid that's under the age of three, I'm like, yeah, well, okay.
Yes.
You can push through it a lot of times.
Yeah,
you
like
know?
Let's wait a couple years. I always hear that. Like, don't even entertain the, I always hear that. But it's true that like, let's not even talk about divorce until they're in school. Like I've heard this because yeah. It's like the first years are so fucking hard and the identity crises that both parents, yeah. whatever they are, go through is like really fucking challenging.
Yeah.
And your relationship is so on the back burner.
Yes.
Even these fucking assholes who are like doing date nights and all this shit, which I'm just like, in what world?
I know.
But like, who are you? And like, what are you talking about? Like my marriage. I'm like, tomorrow, when's Valentine's Day? I haven't even fucking thought about it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, Valentine's Day is not real.
No.
But also it gets really cute. Like I'm super excited for Valentine's Day because I have a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old. And like we made, I ordered these little, plastic heart containers online, and then we made slime over the weekend, like pink and red slime, and so like their Valentine's to all their friends at school are like these little heart containers of slime. It's so cute. And little bags of glitter. It was really fun.
Did you have to go get help like after you had Birdie, or did you struggle with your anxiety lie dormant since you were a kid, and then it sprung out again after you were mom?
I had different manifestations of it, of my stress and anxiety. For instance, like when I was on Dawson's Creek, I developed IBS and spastic colon, and that
classic.
Was like, it's a classic.
It's a classic
for anyone who works in Hollywood. Everyone I know who works in Hollywood has IBS and spastic colon.
It's so true.
But that like developed when I was like 20 years old.
Brutal.
And
did you go to a doctor for that? And someone was like, this is stress. This is caused by stress.
I did. Cause I was like shitting blood at one point.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So fun.
And then, so I was like, oh, I'm dying. Obviously at age 24 and got a colonoscopy and they're like, you're not dying.
You got a colonoscopy at 24?
Yeah. Because
holy shit.
They were like, what is happening? Yeah. They wanted to find out. So they did I did all the tests and then they did a colonoscopy, and like IBS is basically like it means nothing, kind of. It just means
you just have to work on diet and stress.
For me, it's just stress. And the only two times I've really been in remission with my IBS and I haven't felt any symptoms are the two times I've been pregnant. Like my whole pregnancy, both times.
Pregnancy can really cure some people. Like I know people who have literally been lactose intolerant their entire fucking life. Like they eat a piece of cheese and they're running to the toilet and they were pregnant and they couldn't eat enough cheese and ice cream and fucking dairy. And like they were fine. Like I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
So you had anxiety after Birdie was born.
Yeah,
terrible.
You felt
very alone in your marriage and in your friends. Mm-hmm.
I have a few things that I specifically remember, a few instances of panic attacks that I specifically remember. I didn't like the idea of somebody else like holding her, taking care of her. I felt like I was the only one that could do it correctly.
Oh God, that's so hard.
It was so hard.
I remember the first time I left like I had like a, I went back to work when Albie was 8 weeks old, and I remember having to call in like a night nurse last minute to like, Adam was also working and all this stuff, and I screaming, crying, calling my mom. I think it's hard also when your family doesn't live here.
Yeah.
And you have a newborn baby, but I was like obsessed with the idea that this person was going to shake my baby to death. Like, it was an idea that I got in my head that he was not sleeping through the night, and she was going to be super fucking tired and frustrated and angry with him, and she was going to fucking shake. I was convinced. I just didn't trust people. So I had a similar experience with anxiety like that. But
we had had a, Mark had hired like a woman that was like a baby nurse to come in and help me. And yeah. I hated her intensely.
You were like, get out of here. And, yeah. I'm mama bear. I'm doing this myself.
Yes. And I've had other friends who, like with Cricket, I had to go back to shooting Cougar Town 5 weeks after she was born. So I had baby nurse hired that came recommended from my friend, and I had met her a bunch of times. And so I really knew that I was going to like her, and I loved her so intensely. And I recommended her to a friend of mine with her first kid, and she had like, I hated her. I needed her
out of the house.
Yeah. And I think that that is, especially with your first child, I think that it is a thing that you can't, it's biological.
It's gotta be survival instinct.
It is. Like when your second kid comes along and you're like, well, we got one, right? So we're good. Like, you're a little bit more relaxed because like there's something in your hippocampus or whatever, like something in your brain that's like, you already have one kid, so it'll be fine if you lose this one. I'm not kidding.
No, like, it has to be
on a
survival
very, very deep, deep level that you are unable to access. There has to be something that happens when you have multiple children, because with Cricket, I mean, I did do preventatively, I did the placenta pills, which were supposed to help with like postpartum and postpartum anxiety. So I did do that with Cricket, and I had that baby nurse, but I was just like a different mom. Person. I was just chill. Like, I just didn't
have all those fears again.
No, I didn't. And I just was like, I mean, I remember like pulling over with Birdie when she was a baby, sobbing hysterically. I'm going to start crying, even though it's been like literally 10 years. Sobbing hysterically on the side of the road, like thinking, like, what fucking right did I have to have a child? Like, I can't take care of this person. Like, I couldn't even like figure out the baby Bjorn at the grocery store so that I could go grocery shopping with her. I had no help. And I was just like, I can't.
Why did I do? Why did I? I'm not gonna do a good job.
Why did I think I could do this? Yeah, it was really, really rough. Like, unable to drive. A few times I would get really overwhelmed with fear about driving, and I would have to pull over and like either call Mark or call Michelle or like call my mom and just. I wouldn't tell my mom what was happening. I would just be like, "Hey, what's going on? How you doing? What's happening
in Arizona?"
You're having
panic attacks.
Yeah. And I was just trying to like...
Oh my God, for anyone listening who's ever had a panic attack, I'm so sorry. And if you haven't had one, it's like I've had them before and had to see someone about them, but they're the worst. It's like you're convinced you're having a heart attack and you're going to die. Like your heart hurts so bad. You can't breathe at all. You can't catch your breath. You immediately go to visions of death. I've had panic attacks where I've lost like sight and feeling in the mask of my face. Fucking horrible.
Yeah.
What's keeping you up at night these days, busy?
Oh boy, everything. No, well,
besides your full-time job and full-time mom and the status of the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting.
How do you manage anxiety now?
I manage it now with high CBD, low THC.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I had prescriptions for Ativan and Xanax for years, and I would always hate to take it because I had one small child and then two small children. And I felt like, well, that's a stupid thing to be knocked out on. Anyone who's taken Ativan or Xanax knows. It will put an end to your panic attack, but also, like, for me, it leaves me incapacitated.
Yeah,
like,
I'm mother.
Like, no, I could. I'm, like, in my bed watching Friends, like, for, you know, the
right.
rest
You're
of the day.
You're not doing school pickup. No.
Definitely. And I'm not driving my kids anywhere.
Right.
And so it would make me very nervous to take it. And I would, you know, I'm just one of those people. Like, I'll power through this panic attack. Like, I'll just... I'll muscle my way, like, you know, but then a couple years ago, somebody suggested I try the high CBD, low THC gummies. They were gummies for,
I have not tried those.
What?
I know.
I'll send you some.
I have not fucking tried those yet. But what I just tried on like sore muscles is the CBD like cream? Rolling oil yeah. and cream. That stuff is incredible.
Did you get Lord Jones? Did they send that to
it's
you?
It's Hazamaza or something. Okay. It's incredible.
Well,
so the gummies have helped.
The gummies help immensely. And especially like a lot of times I think people, you get a lot of those spinning thoughts and the, you know, it's like a little whirlpool. At night or, you know, when you're laying down and you can't turn your brain off. And I do find that that will help me to just like be able to go to sleep. And then I don't feel there's no hangover. There's nothing from it. There's no drug hangover or anything.
Yeah,
from
that's
that. You just like go
helpful.
To sleep. It just shuts you down.
I need to try that.
It's amazing. It's like truly changed my life.
Are you in therapy now?
Yeah, but,
on and off.
Yeah. Cause I'm scheduling
is a nightmare
right now. So,
but like it's there if you need it. Like you've been in and out, like you've had a healthy relationship with therapy for
sure,
a while.
For many, many years. And my therapist was really helpful with all of my birdie stuff and anxiety and my kids stuff. And you know, birdie is at an age now.
Oh my God, tell me about this. You have older kids and I'm scared. Tell me what birdie.
It's wild.
Like, do you see visions of your own self in birdie? Like, are they anxious about things?
I see it in both of
things?
My kids. Like, yeah. And I mean, they manifest their anxiety in different ways. Birdie has like a deep rage that I also had when I was a kid, that my sister definitely had when we were kids. And I recognize it. She's got a deep, deep rage in her. And that's scary. And then a couple years ago in school, she just started having, like halfway through second grade, she started having like real anxiety. I got into, I got trolled by the right wing for a tweet a couple years ago that I posted, which was that Birdie was like sobbing hysterically in her bed. And I asked her she wouldn't tell us what was happening. And then finally we got it out of her. And she said, like, I'm afraid I'm going to be killed by a gun. And
such goosebumps right now. It's going to make me cry.
I mean, she was seven. Yeah, she was like seven. And people like just made fun of me. They're like, oh, you fucking made it up. You stupid, like left wing idiot.
And you're like, why the fuck would I ever make it up? Like,
it's so stupid.
I remember you coming. Izzy is an incredible singer. Also, and she comes and lovingly also gives her time to my theater company and would sing for audiences for money. Thank you very much for doing that.
You're so welcome.
But I remember you coming once and you had said, you were crying and you said, I'm just kind of freaking out right now because I just saw my kids from school or you picked them up today or something. And they had had a drill for shooter in school. I
sure.
was like,
lockdown
excuse
drills
me,
are
what?
Like, yeah, lockdown drills are like, they're all doing and I guess it's similar to...
I think it was your first one or something.
It was.
And you were like, I can't even believe my kids are fucking going. Like, how are you supposed to have conversations with your kids that this is a reality, that they're going to go to school and have a drill of where to fucking hide?
I know. It freaks me. Now I feel like Birdie is so aware of the world. It is more upsetting to me now for Cricket. Like, because she's five and they're just, you know, I don't know if they've done one yet at her school. They normally send us an email when they do them. But did you see that?
What do they do? What's the drill?
I think that they go to like the back corners of the classroom.
Oh my God,
so they go to the bathrooms and they hide.
Do you remember doing like the hurricane stuff when we were, I mean, when
well,
we were kids?
I grew up in Arizona, so I didn't do hurricane
stuff.
Oh yeah.
Stuff. What did you have? Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh my God, Arizona. I'm like East Coast. They would teach us to go under our desks, put our head between our legs and our hands over our head in case there was hurricane
bad
or tornado or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, like kids are so resilient and they find a way to both like have a great deal of logic about things and be able to see things in a very practical way and in a way that like I don't think I think adults have a harder time doing. Does that make sense? Like,
yes,
I
totally.
But I did just see that thing that went viral yesterday. The woman that posted they had a real lockdown at her kid's elementary school because of a bomb threat that was called in, and the 7-year-old, when she was getting ready for her bath, oh my God, I'm gonna start crying, had written on her arm, like, love mom and dad, because she just wanted to know, like, if she had been found dead, that her parents
would know
that she was thinking of them.
I mean,
fuck. It's so stupid.
Oh,
it's so dumb. It's so dumb that this is the world. I mean, I remember I was in college when Columbine happened.
I know.
Oh. So I was a sophomore in college when Columbine happened. And I remember like going back to my dorm room and watching it and being like, because, you know, the news was so different then. And so it was like sort of the information was rolling in slowly. And I remember thinking like, this won't be bad. Like, this is just like some kids pulling a prank. Like, it'll be fine. And then, you know, it literally since then has only gotten exponentially scarier and scarier. Part of the reason, like, I am very serious about the all girls education for my girls is like, because I feel like in some way, like in my brain, mm-hmm. I feel like maybe the chances of them having a school shooting in an all-girls school is lower.
Less. Wow.
I swear to God, like, that's
no,
like a
I've
thought
I've never thought about that, but that is really smart and a good point. I mean, what did you say to Birdie that night when she was like, I'm scared of getting shot? Like, how do you talk to your kids about this shit? Like, even though she's logical and kids are a lot, like, what do you say? Like,
I mean, you comfort them, right? And we tell her that, you know, we do the best that we can to make sure she's the safest that she can be, and that her fears are valid and that she has a right to be scared of those things because of the things that she hears in the world that we live in. Like, I don't want
do you
her
try to, keep stuff. Like, well, the news was on in my childhood every day at 5 o'clock.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
Like, and we noticed,
because
like,
it's also really brutal, yeah. Like, what's on. Like,
and we
scary.
Noticed, like, there were grandparents visiting, and, like, grandparents still love to watch the news, right? And, this was, like, when there was, like, a threat of nuclear. There was, like, a North Korean threat.
Oh,
like,
God.
I can't remember what this.
Nuclear
a year
missile,
ago, two,
some shit.
Two and a half, a year and a half ago, something like that. And Birdie was so, like, she was like, California's getting hit. Like, that's what they're saying. There's going to be a nuclear bomb and California's going to get hit. And I mean, I walked through the things with her and I was like, let's call your other grandfather because he's a nuclear engineer and I'm going to have him explain
that's nice.
To you. Yeah. I mean, that was convenient, right? He's retired, but I was like, I'm going to have him explain to you like what the reality of it is and how this is probably just like a scare tactic. And I tried to just give her all of the facts. Like, I'm not a parent. I'm very non-judgmental to anyone else's thing that they want
to
do with their kids, unless you're an anti-vaxxer, and then you can go fuck yourself.
Yes,
but,
agreed.
Sorry. Not sorry. Mm-hmm. But I try to give Birdie, like, as much information as I think is appropriate for her to handle at her age.
But you're not lying to her.
I don't.
That's what you're not into.
No.
You're not into, like, it's all going to be fine. Like,
I don't think that I do her any, like, when she was crying about being afraid of being killed by a gun, I don't think I would do her a service as a parent to be like, well, that's never going to happen. Because, like, I don't fucking know. I, like, you know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong.
Know.
But I just want to, tell her, like, I want to empower her with enough knowledge and also assure her that we are doing everything that we can to keep her safe and that she should be proactive in keeping herself safe. Because that's also, like, part of the deal. Like, you got to be proactive in keeping yourself safe.
Yep.
And being aware.
How do you deal? So does she, other than that night and being having rage stuff, does she also struggle with anxiety, either of your kids? And does that bring
Yeah, she gets,
in?
We see it, like, we have to pay close attention to when there are, like, big things coming up for her, like, and sometimes Mark and I are getting better at it 10 years in.
Nice.
Getting
good.
Better.
That gives me hope because, like, oh God.
Like, we, for a long time, her birthday really gives her a lot of anxiety. Like, it stresses her out. And for a long time, like,
what, like, inviting the friends?
All of
people
it.
Getting
just
hurt.
Like, the whole thing. Like, oof. All of it is just anxiety creating for her.
Wow.
A party causes her anxiety. Feel like she doesn't want people to feel left out. She doesn't. She just genuinely, it, like, the week before her birthday, every year since she was, like, 3 years old, she's been a nightmare. It's like a week. It's like a week of just, like, temper tantrums, bad attitude, everything's wrong. And it wasn't until like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, that Mark and I were like, oh, it's her birthday. Her birthday stresses her out. And we need to like try to help her.
So what's the cure?
Because I was like, you know, I also sometimes go into, like, my parents are great and weird and complicated in their own thing. But occasionally I will slip into like my mom's like 1950s, like, you're spoiled. I'm canceling your birthday party.
Of course.
Like I get, you know, like I catch myself doing this, cool your jets. Like I said, cool your jets once. And I was like, okay, well now
it's happened.
Now it's happened. Fully cool your jets to Birdie. And she's like, what does that even mean? Like, I don't know. Something my mom used to say. So now we try to mitigate her stress leading up to her birthday and try to like really, like, for me, I know that the thing that works best with anxiety is giving voice to the anxiety. Like, I was having bad anxiety when I was pregnant with Cricket that I was going to have a stillborn baby. And so, but I was afraid to even talk about it in therapy.
Because it would become true or something.
Right. Yeah, and classic. So I just like held it in for weeks and weeks and then like was just spinning out in the craziest way. And then finally I screamed at Mark, like, you don't know how it is. I'm carrying a dead baby. And he's like, oh no. Oh no. What happened? What's happening? How long has this been going on? And I'm like, like 4 weeks. I don't know. And he's like, it's okay. Like, you know, so, and then once I came out with it, blurted it out.
You feel great.
Yeah. I was like, oh, now that I hear it, certainly that's not true. I was at the doctor 2 weeks ago. Like everything's, I could feel the baby. Right. Everything's fine.
Right.
But so from knowing that about myself, we try to be very communicative with Birdie and Cricket, but really with birds, because she's the one that sort of tends to have more of this, of the anxiety and stress and stuff. But we're also really lucky because we have a girl that's highly verbal and always has been.
She's amazing.
And
I've seen her in her yada performances. She's amazing. She's so her.
Oh, that's so funny that you say that. Katie, you've always like known Birdie. I said to Mark the other day, I've never met anyone more themselves than Birdie.
Birdie is so Birdie.
Yeah.
Like, she's so crazy. Birdie. Like, she's just so, it's incredible. Like, she's a woman of her, like, she knows what she wants, her opinions, she stands behind them. Like, it's amazing. Like, she's so, and she's always been, like, since she was a little kid. And Cricket is not like that. Like, Cricket's like, I mean, Cricket's very strong and amazing, but Cricket is like, she's so, like, I feel like she's very, like, jovial and, like,
Cricket
just joy
not
personified.
Of this earth.
She's like an angel.
She's really like an angel.
Yeah, I know.
She's truly like a spirit that I feel like is just visiting me. And I'm, like, so lucky
to be allowed to be around her.
She's 5 years old, but she still has such magical thinking sometimes. Like, she says things to me and Mark, and we're just like, what are you talking about? Where did you get that from?
How does she deal with Birdie's rage stuff? Like, does that...
Well, that's been tough. And that's something that, like, we're working on as a family. We're going to go back to charts.
What's charts? Tell me, what do I need?
You know, like a behavioral chart. We're going to go back to that. But only in a positive way, because Birdie is very smart, obviously. But also, like, I need to, like, take the negative all across the board, like, negative talk. So instead of, like, don't be rude, it's...
Yeah, what's up with your bad attitude?
It's like, use your kind voice, you know, use your quiet voice. These are some of the things that'll be on the chart.
Yeah.
Use your kind voice, use your quiet voice. And instead of when she starts getting into one of her things, saying, like, what's wrong with you?
I almost feel like she's older than she is. Like, I feel like she's going through, like, teenage stuff now. And how old is she?
She's 10. But remember 4th and 5th grade as a girl. I remember what that felt like and the drama. And that was the hardest year for me, was 5th grade.
5th grade was no joke.
Rough.
It was no joke.
So that's what she's experiencing right now. It's almost like the pre-hormone surge is worse than when they go through puberty and get their period. So I'm trying to... And it's for me, too, because I think I feel like a failure so many days of the week with my kids, where I feel like I didn't remember to use a positive way of talking to her when she was giving me attitude or refusing to do her homework.
Say, cool, you fucking jets.
I want to say, yeah, like, what's wrong with you? Right. And I know you're not supposed to say what's wrong with you, because then they start thinking that something's wrong with them. But I know, honestly, but sometimes I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I don't think it's necessarily... I mean, I read a lot of books on this stuff, and I feel like we're so... Like, being in LA and being, you know, busy and Katie, I feel like we're very good. We're, you know, we're going to make such an effort to make sure everything is so love-filled and stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think in the stuff I read, we overdo it. And, like, sometimes you have to just be like...
It's not cool.
Not cool, dude. Yeah, like, you're not being great.
Yeah, we definitely do that. But I'm going to go back. I obviously know her so well. She responds only to positive reinforcement.
Done.
She is, like, there is nothing, Birdie is so strong-willed. There is nothing in the world you could take away from her or punish her with that she would care about in that moment. Like, if she was, like, angry about something or, like, fixated on something, I could be like, I'm taking away everything in your room. You'll have a mattress on the floor. And she'll be like, great, look forward to it.
That is so, oh yeah. But
I'll see you then. You know,
and were you like that?
No, uh-uh.
Was Mark like that?
Yeah. That's Mark.
Yeah, see, I think my son is Adam, like, 100%. Because I wasn't like that either. My son's very, like, wants what he wants when he wants it. And I was not like that at all.
And we tried when she was little, like, you get what you get and you don't get upset, the Montessori thing. And she was like, but I'm going to get upset. And here we are.
How do you tell the difference between, this is for me, like, what would be, like, normal kid anxiety or normal kid rage? And I hate even using that word, but, like, versus, okay, like, it's time to, like, see
a therapist.
Outside help.
We have outside help, and we've got, had a therapist for her for a little over a year now, because it was untenable in our home. It was, like, really, and I felt overwhelmed, and, like, I wasn't capable of dealing with it, and I didn't know, and I want to give, and I'm able to provide these resources, and I, like, and I know that I suffered from anxiety that I didn't get help for when I was a kid, and I wish I had, because maybe I would have developed some self-soothing mechanisms and some ways to handle these things earlier in life, you know, and it could have benefited me.
You might not have had IBS.
We don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have become an actor, is the truth.
Oh my God, right? So what does she like it? Does she like going? Is she like, I don't want to go?
No, she likes it. No, she looks forward to it. She likes it. But a lot of her friends also see people. I just got a text from my mom literally 5 minutes ago looking for someone for her 10-year-old. There's just a lot going on in the world, and it's a lot for them to process. And I think for kids that are aware and are paying attention, and like you said, Birdie, it does seem so much older than her 10 years. It's wild.
She seems like a 14-year-old.
I know.
I mean, I only say that because I've babysat a lot of kids, but I really feel that way. When are you going to – does she have a phone?
Oh, yeah.
When am I allowing Alvy to do that?
Well,
and
I don't know.
What are the rules? I mean, like, this is scaring the shit out of me.
I mean,
And I know you're super open and cool to, you know, they're on your social media, and I think that's
awesome. But, you know, I have my own rules about that.
You have your own rules with what you allow to be on about them.
Well, yes.
Like, what you post.
Well, first of all, they both have approval. Always. Like, I ask permission before I ever post any photo of either of them. Mm-hmm. I say, Cricket, her understanding of it is obviously way less, but I still obviously ask her.
I love that.
I show her the picture and I say, I'm going to post this on my social media. So lots of people are going to see it, like people that I'm friends with and then people that I'm not friends with in real life. But, like, they like looking at my pictures. Is this okay for me to post?
She says yes.
She's like, yeah.
Birdie, they bring major joy to my life. So
Birdie has not only photo approval, Birdie has caption approval as well. Because one trend that I don't particularly love, although again, I try to be not judgy, is like a snarky like comment that's meant to be funny about like how much of an asshole your kids are. Like, I, you know,
I agree.
I've seen that like with people who like choose to not show their children's faces on social media, but then are like, but my kid's a fucking dick. And it's like, well, okay, whoa, what are we doing?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing?
I agree. What are we doing?
Why are we doing this? And like, and we can all agree that like, there are frustrating moments in parenting and things are tough. And like, I've posted like Birdie giving me an attitude face before, which she's like approved me.
Oh yeah, she posting. Loves it. She's all about it.
She is all
She's
about
like,
it.
Yeah, post my attitude face,
but
mom.
But do you know what I mean? So like, so that's one of the rules. If I'm ever doing like a paid post for Instagram and they're involved in it, I pay them. They have an account.
That's fucking amazing.
Well, they're working. I mean,
they're working.
Yeah. It doesn't seem right. I mean, like, you know,
that's
so we have, they have separate account. Obviously they have like separate bank accounts and then we pull like a percentage.
What they earn that day, what hours like they work that day.
Well, no, it's like, I think I just give them 10% of what I make. Great. On the post.
When is Birdie and Cricket, when are they allowed to have their own social media accounts? Like, when does that happen?
Birdie has a private one, like a deep private one that we monitor closely, because part of what I felt like was important was that I not, again, like, I feel like knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. And so I want to give her like all of the tools and help her. Mm-hmm. And in making good decisions about what, how to communicate on social media and what to communicate on social media. And that's part of the reason too, why like very early on, I included them in the process of, you know, approving the pictures and the cap and explaining to them what the captions mean or whatever, you know? So
I feel like you have such a good relationship with all this stuff and it doesn't cause you much stress or anxiety. Like
I feel like
you're pretty good with this whole
thing. I don't have stress about it. Like I got a little bit, I got really upset a few weeks ago because I did post a photo of Birdie and there were a bunch of people like commenting about her ears, like about her, and I start, and I got like, and I, that I got panicky and like, I got, you know, I never delete anything from my social media. I've never deleted anything.
Whoa.
And I have like a thing about it. But
because you feel like it should be up there. Like, that's why you put
because
it up
feel like if I make the decision to put
post.
It up there, then I'm going to leave it up. It's not, it's something that I've thought about.
Do you ever delete comments?
Oh, yeah. I delete people's
too.
Comments.
I delete
yeah.
like the really crazy
ones. Oh, I block and delete.
Yeah,
for
okay,
sure.
Me too,
people.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but I don't delete like my own personal posts.
No, if you make the decision to post
it's
out there.
Then I've made that choice.
And you need to deal
and
with
I
whatever
stand
the retribution.
By it.
Right, 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 mm-hmm. right, right. That's great.
Well, it's a good rule to have.
You need to like write this book.
Oh, really?
I love yeah. your book. And also the book of how to live with social media in a way that works for you. Because I think, I mean, I haven't posted pictures of Albie, not because I don't want to. I'm just completely anxious, ridden, whatever the fucking word is, with the decision.
Yeah.
I can't decide. So therefore, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Today's the day. I don't know. I can't decide. Like Adam and I are like, it's almost become too big of a thing now.
Well,
pros
because,
and cons of like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. And I think that like,
because I'm not
do you
like,
want to hear how crazy I am though?
Yeah.
Truly.
Always.
I don't know if this is like,
well, we
this is
decide.
How crazy I am.
What?
I sort of like, I'm like terrified of my kids getting kidnapped always. And I feel like because they're so recognizable, they have less of a chance of getting kidnapped. That's how I've like justified a lot of it in my brain. I'm like, because at one point I was like, well, maybe they're too recognizable and then like blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, no, it's, I
no, it's the opposite.
I don't know.
You're going the opposite way.
I'm
people
going
are
the
like,
opposite.
What if you post a picture of your kid and then people think you're really rich and they're famous and they take you from their school for ransom?
Yeah.
The other point is, I think the kidnapping, I mean, again, I read a lot of books on this shit, but like since we came about in the age of like kids being on milk cartons,
right?
The actual statistics of kids
right.
being kidnapped is like, especially with strangers. Look,
yeah.
kids are kidnapped
oh, right,
a lot by
right,
like
right, right, right,
one
right.
of the parents and it's
or
an ugly
somebody,
divorce or whatever
yes.
the fuck it is.
Yeah.
But actual strangers coming to take your child
right.
is a very
well,
rare
that's the,
thing.
How you're younger than you're 37?
Yeah.
You're younger than me. I'm 39, but like yeah, for me growing up, the two things that were the biggest fears were kidnappings and then AIDS. Because we came of like age
horrifying.
Like, yeah, like Ryan White.
Also,
and like,
by the way, have you heard that? Like the AIDS epidemic is up again because they've like stopped teaching AIDS awareness in school because it was condoms
wait,
were drilled into me and you like
yeah,
nobody's business.
Yes.
I mean, gross, Katie.
They were drilled into us, Katie.
But it was. Like, oh, that was my God. Serious.
It,
like,
was very serious. And
like, you have sex out of condom, you're getting fucking AIDS, and you're going to die.
100%.
Well, they really have pulled back on that. And
Birdie
it's
and
like
I,
having
we,
a whole
I
fucking
just talked
resurgence.
To Birdie about AIDS. I just like had
Do
a conversation.
Do you talk to your kids about sex yet?
Oh, yeah, Birdie.
I need to talk to you about all this shit, Birdie, because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm scared.
First of all, I know for girls, I don't know about Albie. I don't know what we're doing with him, but I do know
well,
that for
we're
girls.
About to, I mean, I'm completely horrified. Like, I watched do you watch The Bachelor?
No. I mean, yes and no.
There
I'm not watching
There was a girl
right
on
now.
There who was crying, and she said, I have something really dark to say, but like, this is so fucked up. But she was like, I was at a frat party, and there was something put in my wine, and I woke up the next morning, and I was raped by multiple men, and they took photos, and I was sexually assaulted. And it was actually like an incredible moment for The Bachelor to have, to be honest, because it was like, not edited and not with to music, and there weren't roses involved. It was actually like, and I was so fucking upset to have a son. Like, I was like, Adam, who the fuck are these guys?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with these people? Like, now that I'm raising a son in this day and age, it's like, I'm so worried about his penis, like, and the choices he will make, mm-hmm. and how I will raise a son to treat women. Like, I want him, Adam's like, Albie will be horrified at all times. He's just going to be scared of women. I'm like, great. I just want him to be scared of, like, I mean, it's just too, who are these people? But anyway, you're raising girls. I'm raising boys. How do you talk to them about sex if you have yet? Well, not the 5-year-old.
Birdie asked me 1.5 years ago. She said, I have a question for you. Something doesn't make sense to me. If I have half of your DNA and half of dad's DNA, but you grew me inside your uterus, how did half of dad's DNA get in me? And I was like, well, if we're gonna be scientific about it. And I was like convinced that somebody had told her at school and she was like testing me. The thing that Michelle had told me and that I had read in another book is that, like, you kind of want to be as like chill about it as possible and not make it like
a thing,
the talk.
Yeah.
And so we were just in the car on the way to school and I was like, oh, well, that's because there's this thing called sex that you do when you want a baby. That's how you get a baby.
You're a great actress, because that just sounds really believable and throwaway.
Yeah.
You know
just
what I mean?
Like,
it seems really subtle.
I just threw
it
away.
Like, really good.
And she's
throwaway.
Like, what is sex? And I was like, okay, well. So you know how boys have penises and girls have vaginas. And I just explained it to her like very plain. And she was laughing hysterically, thought it was like the funniest thing on earth. We like later that afternoon got home, like got into the driveway at the same time as Mark. And she got out of the car and she's like, Mom, tell Dad what you told me about.
So Birdie.
And so Birdie. And I was like, I told Birdie about sex and about how babies are made, why she has half of your DNA and my DNA. By the way, obviously Mark already knew because I called him like hysterical after I like put her on the bus. And he's like, oh yeah, buddy. What'd you think about that? And she's like, it's gross. I was like, okay, cool.
I think you're such a great mom. Mm. You really are.
I don't know. I feel like I was feeling... I had a panic attack at the Busy Tonight offices because I couldn't figure out cookie selling for Girl Scouts.
How
I'm like,
do all this
I was
shit.
Like, what? I don't understand it. And the moms, all the other moms know, and I don't know. And how do you get a thing? And my sister, who's a producer on the show, was like, okay, I'll walk you through the website. It's not a big deal. It's just a website. It doesn't mean anything about you as a parent.
How did they feel about you working crazy hours? Are they used to it because you always have been?
No, because I haven't been. And especially for like about 3 years.
Yeah, in between Cougar Town.
Yeah, well, I did vice principals, but yeah. It was so the schedule was so chill.
Are they cool with coming with you when you like travel for shooting and stuff?
Well, I don't travel like by rule really for that much stuff. Vice principals was a special case because Danny McBride had said we're going to shoot it over the summer.
So they're out of school.
So they were out of school anyway.
Had a summer
in Charleston, we
amazing.
Had like the best time ever.
Oh, delicious.
So they don't even really think of that as that I was on a TV show then. Like I
yeah,
was gone
like
a
spent
few
the
days.
Summer in Charleston.
Yeah. They didn't notice.
Do you have any sort of rules? Like I don't go more than 3 nights without putting him to bed. If you're here, like are they good with being put to bed with someone else? Like how do you deal with all that?
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky here. I only miss one bedtime a week.
Good. I mean,
yeah.
dreams.
It's a dream.
Dreams. And that's because you probably made your own schedule?
Yes. And then beyond that, you know, in the last several years, like since Cougar Town ended, I had been offered a bunch of different projects that didn't shoot in Los Angeles. And, you know, to be fair, none of them were, you know, Shonda Rhimes or like starring Meryl Streep. So it was like easier for me to say no. But it's just not, it's not something that I'm able to do. I turned down like a part, I was offered like a part in a really big movie and I turned it down because I would miss Cricket's third birthday a few years ago. And I was just like, it's just not fucking worth it ultimately. And like, fine, that movie was huge and fine, but like, it doesn't matter.
But the priority shift, it is a real, I mean, I didn't believe it before I got pregnant. I was always like, yeah. Like moms, you know, the baby becomes, you know, the top priority, all these things. It's not going to be that way for me. Like, and now that I'm on the other side, it really just is.
Well, it is, but it's also like, if you're able to, if you have, you know, it's a privilege that I'm able, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. In the best way.
And the,
you want the, I mean, the priority shift is like in no way, shape, form, the bad. It's like, I did Broadway and it almost, I started counting down at show 89, not because it wasn't a great experience, but because only putting my kid to bed one night a week sucked and I fucking hated it.
And that's the most, I mean, to me, bedtime is the most special thing. And like, that was the thing that always, even when I was working on Cougar Town, the hours were crazy. Like, I felt so lucky when I would get to go put Birdie to bed or, you know, and then when Cricket was born and I went back to work immediately, I was so lucky that I was able to afford that baby nurse who just like came to work with me and the baby. And I made my dressing room a nursery, and every, you know, break I had, I was like upstairs with this newborn falling in love with her, her little weird magical elf self. She's just wild. She's so wild.
Busy Phillips.
Yes.
What a great name. Busy Phillips of Busy Tonight. What, do you have any advice for parents who might be struggling with anxiety themselves because of the world around them or with kids that are struggling with anxiety?
Yeah, I think like to not, to, I think that destigmatizing all of this stuff is the, where we're at now, like culturally. And I think it's so important. It's why I talk about it on social media. It's why I think like podcasts like this are so important. And I think that you have to understand that there's nothing wrong with you and be willing to reach out and get help. And if, you know, budgetary constraints are a concern, it's like, we're not budgeted to find our kid a therapist. There are plenty of resources for parents, both, you know, you can get, there are lots of books. People love books. You love books?
Love books. There's also like a lot. I remember when I first moved to LA and I was so fucking broke and I was so depressed and like not well, and I really needed a therapist, but I found one who was like, you know, not an assistant. She was a therapist, but she had just graduated school.
And she was looking for her hours?
Yes, and she was sliding scale.
Yeah, sliding
so
scale.
So I could only give
guys,
her...
look for a sliding scale if you need
I could only give her $25. Yeah. And I got to say, I've been with her now for 10 years, and every job I get, I've gone up, and now I'm at her fee. We came up together. But like when I started, I was like, I have $25 an hour, but I need help. I know I can't do this by myself, and my friends are sick of... They're me and they can't hear it either. And I really feel like my life is falling apart and I'm not going to be able to, like, honestly, I truly don't think I would have had success as an actor or been able to find Adam without my therapist at all.
I mean, I think it's just an important thing for people. My sister and I talked about it because she lived in Arizona for a really long time. And she was like, people in Arizona don't talk about like this kind of thing.
Yeah,
like
mental illness.
People don't talk about mental illness. I'm like, well, maybe we all need to start talking about mental illness. And the thing is with your kids too, like here's the way we talk about it with Birdie. Like, dude, we take you to the dentist, you go to the orthodontist, you go to your pediatrician, you get your shots, you're going to this doctor because it's the same thing. It's just for your brain. And your brain needs to be tuned up too. Like, just like your teeth need to be white and clean and no cavities, like, we need to get the cavities out of your brain. And, like, if it's preventing you from doing your best at school, doing your best with your friends, doing your best at home with us, like, what? There's nothing weird about that. Like,
no.
People are, that's what this guy's job is. He's there to help us. And I'm so grateful for him. Yeah. And so I think, like, if you have a kid, if you see, especially when your kids get older, like, don't wait. Other thing is schools, I know that school systems go through different things, and so your school system might not have the resources available to you, but teachers, by and large, do want to help. And, like, reaching out and being communicative with teachers is a game changer. And it was something that, weirdly, I was afraid to do because...
Like, tell the teacher, like, we're struggling with this at Brilliant Home. And again, like, it's because our representative, we're like, we don't want to show... It's always, it's right. So innately in us as moms that, like, nothing's wrong. Don't look over here. We're perfect. Like, she's perfect. I'm perfect. We're all good.
But also, I had a thing just from my own childhood and my own life where I felt like... like almost like afraid to talk to the teachers and administrators. I didn't want to get in trouble like with my own kid's school. But now I've realized, like, we, especially this year, like, being communicative with the teachers and the administrators and the school therapist and the people who are there and are, you know, they want your kid to succeed too. This is their job. It's literally their business, you know? And they didn't get into it because they're like bad people.
Yeah, I hate children, so right? Let me be a teacher.
They got into it because they want to help kids, and they want to help kids, you know, become the best versions of themselves. And so, like, to really, as a parent, know that you can find resources within your child's school as well.
It's a great call. I didn't think about that.
Because there's always, and also, like, talk to your kids too. Like, there's always, like, a teacher that a kid really connects to, always. Like, whether it's like right now, my daughter is having, like, just a total love affair with her art teacher, and her art teacher, she's, like, eating lunch with her art teacher. And, like, just taken this, like, vested interest in Birdie and her talents and abilities. And, like, so reaching out to that person and saying, like, hey, have you noticed this? What's it like at school? This is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what we're dealing with after school. Because also, for a long time with Birdie and her anxiety, it was only manifesting at home. Like, she wasn't at school. She was, like, holding it. And then she would get home and explode.
Oh, God.
You know? And so, like, I was like, well, I'm not going to tell the school that she's having these
attacks. Yeah, we can hide this behind our doors. Yeah.
But I wish I would have earlier, because then I would have known some of the things that were happening, and they could have helped me with the intervention at school. Like, hey, are you feeling overwhelmed right now? Do you want to take a walk? Like, do you need a break?
Right.
And I think that's just, I don't know, valid.
It's hard for us to ask. No, it's brilliant. It's hard for us to ask for help, even still. Like, it just is.
Totally.
It's like, still, even though I know it's like the number one thing to being like the best mom I can be is asking other people to help me do it.
You know what else really
at
helps?
All times.
Anxiety. Epsom salt baths.
Why do I not like that? You post your fucking photos in a bath and it looks so great. And I'm like, I don't think I've taken a bath in 10 years.
Do you do Epsom salts?
I get, like, weirded out about bathing in dirty water.
Okay. First of all, that's insane.
Like, secondly, it's like water with skin cells in it. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Think about how, like, every baby book you read before you have a baby, they're like, set the bedtime routine, a warm bath.
Always.
And then
I
you
give
put
them
the
a warm bath every night.
On and yeah, da, 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 da. Like, it makes sense. It's part of, like, the wind down. And then you lose it, like, somewhere around, I want to say first or second grade, like the baths go away. Cause you're just like, you don't have time.
Throw them in the shower.
Bye. Yeah. The kids like kids prefer showers, like whatever. We've recently come back to the baths as like a chill down.
Brilliant.
Chill down?
For you and for Birdie and Cricket.
Well,
we don't
take them together.
No, no, but like you have a bath before you go to bed.
I do. Yeah.
When you're stressed.
Yeah.
And Birdie does too.
Yes. And now if I see Birdie, if I can feel it, it's like a little itch, like from the inside out, and I can see it on her face. I'm like, dude, I'm going to run an Epsom salt bath for you. Put a little lavender oil in there. Chills her out. Chills her right out. Doesn't matter that she's almost 11. She's like, she needs
a bath. It's great.
And sometimes she's like, I don't want to do it. And then she gets in and she gets out afterwards and she's so chill. It's like without fail every time. And whenever I'm feeling like a lot of anxiety.
You take a bath.
But Epsom salts are the key.
I have them sitting next to my bath. Never used it. Going to tonight.
Epsom salts also, like, I should be sponsored by Epsom salts, but like, is there an Epsom salt council?
There has to be.
Where is
Epsom salts? Hello? Yeah. Like, I can't even say the word. What the fuck is it? I don't even know.
It's magnesium, and it like chills you out. But anyway, you
all I think about it too is like actors, don't they take baths and like a ton of salt when they have to drop a shitload of weight before a sex scene?
Yeah. It also makes you skinny. So there you go.
Great. Never even thought about that.
At least two cups of Epsom salts. You have to be careful with Epsom salts in little kids, though, because you can't drink it. So, if your kid is still drinking bath
blowing
water,
bubbles in bath water, no,
it's
good.
Not for you. This is a helpful tip. But if you have an older child, like I have an older child who's not like sucking on the
bath water. Yeah, that's what my kids do.
No, she's like, would never dream of it. She can take an Epsom salt bath. And she also has like growing pains now. So, it helps everything.
This is all coming down the pipe. Busy Phillips, thank you for taking time. I love you very much. Thank you for all of your wise words and advice and guidance and just experiences. Oh, we all benefit from them.
And we're all doing our best.
We're all just doing our best. Thank you guys so much for listening and for your amazing feedback and tweets and messages and reviews and sharing Katie's Crib with your friends and your family. It means so, so much to me. So please keep it coming and check us out on shondaland.com. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.